I had computer problems the last couple, two or three days. Still woke up this morning having computer problems. On the way over here, I said, Lord, what are we going to do this morning? He said, go to Mark chapter 4. So that's where we are. And chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 1. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. I want you to visualize that in your mind. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching. And he's going to give them a parable here. And I think probably the first thing that we need to do for the benefit of some of you who may not know what a parable is, or some of you who have known and maybe forgotten or maybe need to be reminded. A parable, Jesus always spoke to the people and a lot of the people in parables. And a parable is just this. It can be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or it can be a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. So he spoke to them in parables, but he said to those, we're going to see this later on in here, maybe if we get that far, I'm not just sure how far we're going to go. He said to them later on, when they asked him, why are you speaking to them in parables? He said to them, them being the disciples and those that were his followers, he said, I'm speaking to them in parables because they really won't understand. He only gives understanding to those that desire to understand. And to those of us that want to leave him out of our lives, mostly for about everything, we should I just want to say that God knows about everything. Amen? He created everything. I mean, there's not any subject, any problem, any issue that you can talk to him about that he does not know. I don't want you to know that right now. Even the thoughts that come to our minds, he knows. What we watch on television or where we go or what we say to husbands and wives or children. I'm not trying to put any condemnation on anyone here. I'm just trying to tell you, we don't need to try to hide anything from God because God knows everything there is to know about us. Now, I want to follow that up with this. He loves us anyway. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
He loved me. As a matter of fact, he loved us before we were created in the womb. The Bible tells us when we were yet not created or formed, being formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. He knew what family we're going to be born into. He knew we were going to be males or females. He knew where we were going to live. He knew everything. He knew everything about that. You with me? The fact, I just want to say this, and please get this. He knows everything about us. But that doesn't mean he controls us. When he creates us as human beings and our body comes forth, and I don't know when life is in the body. I think life is in the body whenever, if life is in the seed. Amen? But whenever we breathe, anyway, we are a spirit being, and he put us in a physical body so that we could live on this earth, and the Bible calls these physical bodies our tents. Everybody say tent. If you'll remember, a tent's something that doesn't last very long. Right? So from the day we're born, we begin to age, and eventually, sometime or another, this tent's going to fall apart, and we're going back to be with God. Amen? So you need to keep that in mind because that's one of the things that God wants us to understand in all of these parables and things that he tells us, because he loves us and He doesn't want to lose us. You listening? He doesn't want to lose us. He loves us. He wants all of us to be in fellowship with Him. Therefore, when He understood from the very get-go, and He proves that to us with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He had to kill a spotless lamb in order to cover. They tried to cover their, you remember, they were naked. They had always come to be before God, but after they had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they had sinned. And when God came normally like He would to visit with them in the Garden of Eden, what did they do? They went and hid themselves. Why? Because they knew they had sewed fig leaves together. Are you listening to me? Because all of these are types. They sewed fig leaves together to try to cover their nakedness, because when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were naked before. We're all naked before God. Amen? But the problem is we don't realize it. But when He begins to call us and deal with us, then He lets us know and lets us realize that, hey, I know all there is to know about you, and there's something not right. We're not connected together, and we need to have that connection. So because He loves us, back to where I was, I think, back to where I was, because He loves us, and He knew that the fig leaves sewed together, which is a type of religion, you with me? Which means that no religion in this world can cover our nakedness before God. He took a lamb in the garden and slit its throat, shed its blood, and sprinkled them with blood, and that's how their nakedness was covered. And God was showing us by that very act, not only that religion couldn't cover our sins, but that He was going to someday send the precious Lamb of God, His precious only begotten Son, to become the Lamb for us, take our sins in His body, die in our place, shed His blood so that we might be saved. And the Bible says He died for the sins. Listen, get this. Not just your sins, my sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. Amen? So the call that He sends out is not just a special call, people. And it is true that we are called, but He's going to see to it that some way, if at all possible, and I believe God loves people, He's going to see to it that some way everybody in this world has an opportunity to accept His sacrifice, His precious Lamb, so that they can be saved. And that's one of the responsibilities of the church and the body of Christ in this world, so we can tell the wonderful story that God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that anybody that believed in Him could be saved. That's why we're here. Amen? Now, where was I? Somehow we got off. Well, we didn't get off. We're just going where God wants us to go, but He spoke to him in parables. Chapter 4, verse 2. Mark 4, verse 2. Then He taught them many things in parables and said to them in His teaching, listen. Everybody say listen. That doesn't mean just listen with your ears, or we listen with our ears. That means we listen with our heart. We listen with our spirits. We want to understand specifically what it is, Lord, are you saying to me? I don't want to just hear words. I want to understand what you're saying. Amen? So that's why He says, listen. Then He says, behold. And behold here means I want you to listen carefully, but I also want you to consider. Behold means to consider, remember, think about it, consider it, think about it, remember it. You need to consider what I'm saying. And so He tells them this sower. A sower went out to sow. In case you don't understand that, what that means, just real simple, A farmer took his seed and he went out and planted it in his field. You with me? Not this modern day tractor type, have the planters and all the equipment and everything. Back in those days, the farmer took a donkey or an ox and took a plow and went out there and broke up his fallow ground and plowed up the ground, and then he went out there with a bag of seed over his shoulders. You're watching here. Had a bag of seed over his shoulders, and then he went out there and he put his hand in the bag and he went around sowing the seed. So you get the picture here. Now, as he was sowing that seed, as he was throwing the seed around, the seed fell everywhere. Everybody say everywhere. That means it went into the places that it was supposed to go, but it went into a lot of places that it wasn't supposed to go. Okay? All right. So where did the seed fall? Verse 4. And it happened as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Everybody say wayside. And when it fell by the wayside, the birds of the air came and devoured it. They ate it all up. So it didn't grow. It didn't do anything. It was eaten. Verse 5. Some fell on stony ground, it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth, when the sun came up, verse 6, it was scorched and became, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. He said to them again, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I hope you're listening. Amen. So, when he was alone with his disciples and a few of their friends and all they gathered around, they said, "Lord, what in the world are you talking about? What does that mean?" And real simply, for shortness of time, I don't have time to go into detail on all of these, but real simply, he wants us to understand, and he wanted them to say, understand, because it is given to those that want to understand the ability to understand. You with me? And so, the first thing he said was to him is, Chapter 4, 11. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." In other words, lest they should be saved. That was not a condition that God put them in. That was a condition that humankind put themselves in. Adam and Eve started it. Are you with me? All right. Then he said, verse 13, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" In other words, this is the basis pretty much for understanding all the parables that he told in the Bible. If you understand this parable, you'll be able to understand a whole lot of things that he's talking about in the Bible. Amen? So, back to what I was going to say, simply, he's saying there's four types of seed. Or, there's only one type of seed. That seed is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word, which is the Word of God. The living Word of God. There's four types of soil, is what I meant to say. And every one of us in this whole world are one of those types of soils. And the question is, which type are you? And the answer is, whatever it is, you can come to God and He'll help you change it. Amen? That's why He sent His Son. All right? So there's four types of soils. Now the soil is us, we, people. It is our hearts. It's who we are. And most of us, as we're born in this world, it hasn't been given to us to understand the things of the Spirit of God because of Adam and Eve's sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God until all of those that are born into this world, there's not any of us saved until we get saved. Now, somebody always says, well, what about children, Brother Lewis, babies and children? Well, let me say this. God, in His special love and in His special way, takes care of them until they reach the age of accountability. Now, what does that mean? That means until they reach the point. Now, whatever age that is, it can vary with different people. But that means simply that they are not held responsible for their sins until they come to the age of accountability, which means that they come to the point where they can be accountable. They can understand that they've sinned and understand that they need somebody to save them from their sins. Reminds me of a cute story. I'm going to share it with you right quick. We could probably use some humor here at this point. Our oldest son had two children, a little boy and a little girl. I was preaching a revival at a church in Houston many years ago. And David Wright was the pastor there. And so his little daughter, their son was sitting in the back seat and they were on the way home. And I had made the statement at the conclusion of Sunday morning service, y'all come back tonight, I'm going to speak on being accountable. You already see this coming, some of you. His little daughter said, Daddy, he said, what on? She said, what is accountable? And he said, well, honey, a cannibal is somebody that eats people. And she said, Dad, I don't want to go back to church tonight. I don't want to learn how to be a cannibal. I didn't blame her. Accountable. When we reach the age to where we may not understand everything, but we understand the fact that we need a Savior and we've sinned. So, and then he begins with verse 14. Let's go to verse 14, Mark chapter 14. And the rest of this, the next few minutes, I'm going to finish. So, the sower sows the word. Everybody say the word. The Bible tells us in other places, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So one of the reasons that we need to hear the word of God is so we can understand what it is and have the faith to be able to receive it. If we don't hear the word of God, then it's impossible for us to receive it and understand it, so it's impossible for us to be saved. Are you listening? So he wants you to understand that the sower sows the word. So whenever a minister or you as a Christian, you share the love of God, the word of God, even if it's just John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You're sowing the word. And anybody that hears that and wants to act, because you see, listen, God's Holy Spirit bears witness with God's Word. We can't change somebody, but God can. So when we speak the word, we may think we're not doing any good at all, but remember, God watches over his word. He tells us to perform it. In Psalms, I think it is. I didn't have that written down, so I can't give you a chapter and verse, but that's what he says. God watches over his word to perform it. So when we sow that seed, God watches over that seed and that word so that he will give that person an opportunity to be able to hear that word and respond to that word. And when we respond to that word as an act of faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when we respond to that word, then we're saved. That's how everybody in this world gets saved. That's how you got saved. That's how I got saved. And I've told you this before. I didn't know. I was a religious person. I was a member of a church. I'd been baptized and gone through all the things that you want. But when I was 18 and 19 years old, I went to a church, and I first time in my life, I understood what the Word of God was saying, and I realized that I needed somebody to save me. And so all I did was I just responded to the word that I heard, and I left my pew at the invitation, came down here to the altar. I didn't know how to pray or what to pray. You with me? All I did was I heard the word. And so I stepped out of my pew as an act of faith and acted upon that word. Now, this is a principle that we need to understand, Christians, that only as we act upon the word, as we study and learn the word, and as we act upon the word, does the word benefit us. You have to act upon the word. It's the way of the action, the way in is the way that we proceed. It doesn't change. We always have to act on the word. That's why it's important. And the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word so that you may grow thereby. Amen? Because the word is that you get in to that builds our faith and strengthens us so we can act on God's word. I could act on God's word just a while ago, just this morning. When I prayed and cast all of my cares upon him and your cares and everybody's cares that said, pray for me, I brought before him, I acted on his word, which says, if we cast all of our, we can cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. That's acting on his word by faith. And I've seen over 40 some odd years or longer preaching, 60, whatever it is, forgot, getting too old. I've seen the word, whatever it is, act every time somebody acted in faith on it. Amen. It works. It doesn't work because we make it work. It works because God makes it work, and he tells us how to make it work. And that is, we walk by faith and not by sight. Whew. Boy, this is good stuff, folks. So the sower sows the word, 14, Mark 4. And let's look at some how people receive this. The first one is those that are by the wayside. Those by the wayside, he said, when the word of God is sown, verse 15, and when they hear that word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So you have to be careful when we hear the word of God, because if we're not careful, we have an enemy. He stands in opposition to God. He doesn't want us to be saved, nor does he want us to do the will of God. Are you with us? With me? So as soon as the word is sown, if we're not careful, if we don't guard it, the enemy will come and catch that word out of our hearts, and first thing you'll know, you'll go off and you can't even remember what the word was that was spoken to you. Which brings me to another point here. Not just read it, but memorize some of it. Memorize it. Memorize some of the scriptures that are important to you. Memorize them, know them, quote them. And when the enemy comes, the Bible says in James chapter 4, Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil and he'll flee from you? Well, read Ephesians chapter 4. Put on the whole armor of God. Take the shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. Are you with me? All of these things fit together. Amen? So how do I resist when the enemy comes and puts something in my mind and I say, wow, the Spirit of God says, that's not supposed to be there. I don't want that thought in my mind. So then we take the shield of the faith. Amen? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we block that attack of the enemy in our minds with the shield of faith. And we take the sword of the Spirit and we say, get away from me. I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whack. And quote the Word of God. Amen. And if it doesn't work the first time, do it again and again until it does work. That's what the Bible tells us. We're in spiritual warfare. And the battle is not, though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it is, verse 3 and 4, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are you with me? He's talking to us, isn't he? Amen. So don't let the enemy come and steal the word away from you. Get into the word. Don't get in it first. Don't let the enemy keep you from desiring the sincere milk of the word and the meat of the word. Amen. The sower sows the word. Those by the wayside are those the enemy comes and takes away the word. Those on the stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately, everybody say immediately, they receive it with gladness. They're glad to hear it. There's some that receive it and they're glad to hear it, but they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time, and afterward when tribulation comes, persecutions arise, for the word's sake, immediately stumble. Oh, my goodness. Verse 18, now these are the ones among the thorns. They are ones who hear the word. And what happens to them? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter into and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20, but these who are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, hear and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. And he goes on down to verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And take heed what you hear, verse 24. Because with what the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given to you. For whosoever has to him, more will be given, but whosoever does not have even that what he thinks he has, or that's what it really means here, will be taken away from him. And he said, the kingdom of God is, and then he scatters the seed in the ground. So, here's what we have. When we come to the Lord, it's because he's given us his word, which we can trust him, and we come to him and call on him. Now listen, here's a word for you, Romans 10, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is come and say, Lord, I've sinned, and I don't even know how I've sinned or what I've sinned. I don't know what all I've done. I just know that I need to call on you, and I don't really know how to pray, and I don't know what to say. I'm just here calling on you. That's what I did. And I'm telling you, from that point on, when I called on the Lord, I never was the same person ever again. Did I live a perfect life? Heavens, no. Did I continue to do some things that I shouldn't have done? Heavens, yes. Did God take care of them and gradually work with me? And as I grew, I began to put all those things off? Yes. That's what he wants us to do. That's what we all have to do. I didn't understand I was in a spiritual battle. You don't. Oh, if somebody attacks this country, we don't go over there and get a 2-year-old kid and put a weapon, an AK-47 in his hands and say, go out there and attack the enemy. He might shoot everybody, including him himself, if he can even carry it. And the problem is we have so many Christians that think they know so much, and they're out there trying to carry a AK-47, and they haven't even got a, they need to carry their milk bottle first. Are you with me? I'm just trying to speak the truth. We have to grow. And then what can we share with people that'll help them? The first thing that you have when we are, that we have as Christians, as believers, the first thing that we have that we can share with people is we have a testimony. Amen? And somebody would, a lot of people would much rather hear your testimony than they would some preaching or some sermon. And you can say to them, like the man said who Jesus at the well went by and said, and there was lots of people laying at the well. There was a crippled man that had been lame from birth, if I remember correctly, laying at the well. Jesus came walking by, and out of all of them, he looked at him and he said, sir, you want to be whole? You want to walk? Now, he could have been a smart egg like some people are and said, well, who are you? Why do you think I'm sitting here, you stupid, or what? Thank God he didn't say that. Are you listening? But some people today say something like that. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to hear the Word of God. God comes by and says, would you like to be saved? Would you like for me to be your Lord and Savior? Would you like for me to save you? Would you like for me to change your life? And they just, and he says, if you read on, many of them came. He sent prophets and preachers and teachers, and most of them were ignored, and people made all kinds of excuses why they couldn't come and be saved and they wouldn't listen to his call. Some of them took them and despitefully used them, spoke evil about them, and threw them away. What? Are you with me? So we respond to the Word of God. And when we respond, God sees our heart. And then God moves. And then God does something we can't do. And that's his way. He always walks by. We always walk by faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, listen, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, but they also must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not casually, just, well, I sought the Lord, I fell off of a log, or praise God, you know. Wow. So now we understand some things, hopefully. And if we weren't mindful of them, then we have been reminded. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you, Father, for us being able to have fellowship with you and with one another. Bless this fellowship, Lord, and help us to understand that it's a spiritual thing and it's a wonderful thing, and that we have many brothers and sisters in the faith that are spiritual brothers and sisters because they're part of your family, and we're part of your family. And that makes us brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day, everybody. God bless.